Good morning, PCC. Great to have you this morning. Glad you're joining us in this morning's worship service. Once again, we're online, and we're so grateful that you're taking the opportunity to worship in this way with us. And if you're a guest and you're not a part of the PCC family, we are so grateful and thankful that you're joining us as well, and hope that this service has been an inspiration and a blessing to you. Heard a joke this week about a city slicker who went for a drive in the countryside. As he was cruising down the country road, he caught something out of a corner of his eye. He looked again, and he saw a three-legged chicken running alongside of him down the road. He looked at his speedometer, he looked at the chicken, and noticed he was going 45 miles an hour, so he thought, I'm going to speed up. So he sped up to about 55 miles an hour. He looked over again and saw the chicken was gone. He said to himself, well, good deal, I beat that three-legged chicken. To his surprise, the three-legged chicken came flying from behind, right ahead of him, and cut straight across him to a side road into a farm yard. The man was shocked, and so he hit the brakes, and he turned a sharp right, pulled into the barnyard. The farmer came walking out to his car. Well, said, hey, sir, haven't seen you around here before. He said, no, never been around here, but something pretty strange. I just saw a three-legged chicken. It passed me down the road and ran right into your barnyard. Farmer said, oh, yeah, I raised those three-legged chickens. City slicker said, really? How come? He said, well, got to thinking. I really like a drumstick. My wife really likes a drumstick. Sir, do you like a drumstick? The city slicker said, well, yeah, of course. He said, so if we invited you over for dinner, we wouldn't have enough drumsticks. And the city slicker thought to himself, wow, pretty clever idea. So he asked the farmer, well, what do they taste like? The farmer grinned great big and said, well, sir, we don't know. We haven't caught one yet. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said these words from the Message paraphrase. Are you tired? Worn out? Sometimes it feels like life is nothing but chasing that three-legged chicken. And we get worn out, we get tired, we get frustrated. And this morning, we're going to talk about the emotion of being tired. Maybe no other time in history have people in our culture been more tired. Newsweek did a poll just last year asking people, if you were at work and someone asked you at work, how's it going? After you got through saying, okay, good, fine, they found that people, well, they would say, I'm tired, burned out, stressed, I'm buried, I'm just catching up every single day. I was at Walmart this past week picking up some essentials. I looked across at the cashier. I could tell she looked a little bit stressed. And I said, well, how's it going? And she just replied, I can't. I'm going to read some statements this morning. And if these statements are true of you, I want you to raise your hand. And I know you're sitting at home in your confines, your own home. So be truthful. Be truthful. Raise your hand if these are true. Here's statement number one. I've cut through a gas station to avoid a stoplight. Raise your hand. Okay, I'm not showing you by example. I'll be honest. I have done this. Number two, I frequently look at my phone for no reason. Yeah? People who talk slowly irritate me. Does that irritate you if people talk slowly? I often switch lines because the line I'm in is just too slow. Ever done that? Especially these days in the supermarkets, grocery stores are jam-packed. Well, how about this one? I believe God makes whatever line I'm in the longest. And the last one, when I try to fall asleep at night, my mind races through all the things I didn't get done today and all the things that I have to do tomorrow. We're addressing emotions, and well, when you think about being tired, you maybe not associate that with being an emotion. But feeling exhausted and tired, it makes us very vulnerable to experience those negative emotions that we really don't want to experience. The more tired you are, the more likely you are to face depression and anxiety. You can be very irritable. Tired, if you really think about it, it's a gateway to all kinds of emotions that can really make life difficult. And so this morning we're going to discuss what it means to be tired and how God can use that. We're going to once again look at a psalm that David wrote. This morning, one of the most familiar psalms in all of that wonderful book, the 23rd Psalm. In the 23rd Psalm, David is going to show us how it is that we can find the rest that we need in this life that is so busy. And if you understand just the few first verses of Psalm 23, it's going to unlock something for you that can be life-changing. It's something that David discovered for his life and is so valuable for ours today. So in Psalm chapter 23, we're going to start at verse 1 and read the first three verses. David says, and this is very familiar, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Take a deep breath. Let's read this again. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." As you read this, David makes a point to say, "The Lord, he is my shepherd." So what does that make David? Well, that makes David a sheep. Now, this isn't a very flattering animal. When you're a kid, you'd have people ask you, "If you could be an animal, what kind of animal would you want to be?" And I don't think many people jump to say, "I want to be a sheep." No one wants to be a sheep. Sheep, if you've ever seen them out in the barnyard, they're filthy, they're dingy, they smell bad. Sheep are very helpless. They're very dumb animals. But David acknowledges, and he was a shepherd as a young boy, that the Lord is his shepherd and that he is a sheep under the loving, tender care of God. Because the sheep is solely dependent upon the shepherd. And David knew this. And he knew that to be true for his life, and it's true for your life and for mine as well. We live tired lives because we get this relationship all wrong. All too often, we want to be the shepherd of our own lives rather than releasing control and telling the Lord, "I want you to be my shepherd. I will be the sheep under your tender care, and you lead me and you guide me." We try to carry pressures that we were never intended to carry, and the result is we're tired. We're tired from carrying those pressures in this life that we were never meant to carry. And saying you are a sheep, it's humbling. It's humbling, but it's also releasing. When you can be as David and say, "I depend upon you, God." And what was the result of this? When David got this relationship right, that the Lord was his shepherd and that he was the sheep, then David said, "Because of that, I lack nothing." We've used different vehicles to describe emotions because emotions, they drive us, they push us, they guide us in certain directions. And that's what a vehicle does. It takes you places, which is exactly what our emotions do. Feeling tired, it reminds me of a guy I went to college with who had a pickup truck. And through his whole first year of college, he didn't get the oil changed one time. And he was on his way home for summer break, and on the interstate, the engine locked up and he was left stranded along the interstates. Why? Well, he didn't follow the warning signs. I didn't ask him, but I'm sure there were warning signs on the dash saying low oil, that he needed to get that oil change. He didn't follow the manufacturer's design of that vehicle. And if he would have chosen to stop that vehicle every 3,000 miles, take 20 minutes to get an oil change, it would have saved him a ton of money. He spent $4,000, and after that, his truck was back up and running again. Well, I think about our relationship with God and how we live this life. God gives us specific instructions, recommendations as to how we are to take care of the body and the mind and the soul and our relationships. And part of that care is rest. Rest reconnects us with God and it replenishes the soul. And it's something that we neglect way too often in our culture. It's been this way since the beginning of time. You see, there's a rhythm when God created the earth. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and on day 1 and 2 and 3 and so on, at the end of each day, the Bible tells us that God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning. After each day, God would pause, And he would look at what he had created, and he would be appreciative of that. And then, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, after everything had been created, the Bible tells us that God, he rest. He took a rest from his work. Then you go to the book of Leviticus. As God gives the law to the people, as he gives it to Moses, he sets requirements, commandments. You might remember those 10 commandments. And within those 10 commandments, there's one commandment that calls all people to rest on that Sabbath day, to rest from work. You see, God made these commands because he's the manufacturer. He created us, and he knows what it is that we need so that we can thrive in this world. And one crucial element is rest. God knew that we would need this rhythm in our life of rest. Unfortunately, we violate this way too often. And unfortunately, it catches up with us. And it can cause major problems. It can cause a lot of emotions to pop up in our life that we weren't intending to have. But they do because lack of rest, it takes a toll. And so that's why we do life. We congregate with others so that we can live that life that God had intended. Now, I got to tell you, I can't dance. Speaking of rhythm, I don't have much rhythm. And if you were to call me to come out on a dance floor where there was no one or just a few people, no way. No way I'm doing that. And I know there's some of you out there watching. It's the same thing for you. But if I were to be asked to come out on the dance floor with my wife and there was a large crowd of people, I would be much more calm about that. Because I know in the back of my mind there's other guys out there that can't dance either. And it makes it a whole lot easier. And I think that's a picture of how we live our lives. We surround ourselves with other people whose lives are out of rhythm, that we're running the rat race, we're running at a breakneck speed of life. And we kind of just blend in with everybody else and it doesn't look any different. And that's very dangerous. And if you're honest with yourself, could you say that your life is a finely choreographed dance or is it way out of rhythm? Because we don't take the time to rest and we're tired. We're worn out. And I think with the times that we're enduring right now, this is becoming so much more apparent. That we have lived such busy lives, and all of a sudden, with social distancing, with school being canceled, with athletics being canceled, some people are told not to go to work, life all of a sudden, it seems, has just came to a screeching halt. And I think we're re-examining how we've been living our lives, and perhaps this rest that we're getting now is a foreshadowing of what we really need to wake up to. That it's important for us to replenish ourselves and find that rest and find that rest in God. We pay the price emotionally, physically, relationally, spiritually, and we work and we work and we work. And sometimes we see some fruit from all of our work and we get excited, but it's not sustainable. And that engine locks down because it's not received the care that it needed. And when we live the rhythm of rest, it resets us physically. It renews us emotionally, and it can restore us spiritually. And we can't go without this. It's not God's design for us to go without this. And this sermon, it's easy to listen to this. Oh, yeah, I'd love to rest. Yeah, I'd love to have some time where I can relax and not feel the stress of life and be so busy. It's easy to hear that, but it's much harder to enact what I'm saying. Because you'll say, well, I'd love to take a rest, but I don't have the time. I think that we look at our time management and our finances, and, well, we say to God, well, it's my time, they're my finances. God, you're not going to tell me how I handle them. And God would tell you, I want to be your shepherd. I want to be your shepherd, and I want to guide you in this way, and he'll lead you. And David understood this. In the book of Leviticus, when God gave the law, he told the people, every seventh year, you're to give the land rest. You're not to plant anything at all. And the people, well, that was difficult to hear because, well, people have to eat, right? And so God gave him this promise in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 20 through 22. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. What's God saying here? If you honor what I say, then you will see the way that I'll take care of you. And so David writes in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And the word shepherd in that ancient Hebrew language, it's a compound word that means shepherd companion or personal shepherd. What David is recognizing is that God knows him. He knows him in a personal way and he sees him individually. And he loves him that much that God doesn't just look down upon us as just people, but he looks down upon us as individuals. And he's that shepherd companion or that personal shepherd that wants to guide you. And I think at times we fail to rest because we lack something. Perhaps you lack respect, and so you go to work and you work hard and you try to advance yourself and you make money and you climb the ladder. And you do that so that other people will respect you. Why do you do that? Because, well, you lack something. And it wears us out. Perhaps it's a bigger house or a newer car. Maybe you want a spouse or you want children. And we lie awake at night consumed with everything that we don't have, the things that we lack, and we can't find rest. If only we had a platform that, you know, maybe we could go on the internet and we could search and we could find all the things that everyone else has that we lack. Well, I made a list of some things. A beach vacation, blemish-free skin, style, muscles, energy, tickets to the ball game, which there aren't any going on right now, but later. A date, followers, friends. You see, there's constant reminders all around us of what we don't have, and that cause of lack in our life, it causes us to be restless rather than restful. And so we work and we work and we work, and we have to eventually realize that lack, it's a moving object. And once we attain one thing, well, it never satisfies, and we're on to the next. And we work and we toil, and we're restless. And those emotions that are down deep, they start to surface and they start to fester and they cause all sorts of issues and problems in our life because we're not willing to put the relationship in the right order. That the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Augustine wrote, our hearts are restless until we find rest in you. And how true that is. Back to Psalm 23, verses 2 through 3. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. David says, he makes me lie down. It sounds like God just shoved David on the ground. Or he tripped him. Or he held him down. And the language that David's using, it's quite true that that's exactly how it is that it's being described. And it's interesting that in life, we will either choose to lie down or take rest, or life will eventually do that to us. Wayne Mueller wrote a book called Sabbath. In a quote from the book, he says this, if we do not allow for a rhythm of rest in our busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath, our pneumonia, our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath for us. And these times we could say coronavirus. You can either get the oil change and take the time to take the maintenance and the care that the manufacturer suggests, or several thousand miles later, one way or another, the vehicle is going to have to stop. And for you and I, we consume and we consume and we consume, and we're never satisfied, and we're always lacking in our own minds. We need to pause and take the time to realize that we're not the shepherd. We're not in control. And that if we try to be the shepherd and have everything in control of our lives, we can't bear the weight. And it makes life way too difficult. Here's the key idea for this message this morning. Rest is not a time to do. Rest is a time to be. I want to say that one more time. Rest is not a time to do. Rest is a time to be. Rest is not adding to the schedule, but it's taking things off that schedule so that you can make time for that rest. In Psalm 23, verses 2 through 3, you can look back at that, and you might notice the things that David points out are things that he does not do. He points out the things that God does for him. Why? Because he recognizes the correct relationship, that the Lord is my shepherd, not me. I'm a sheep under his tender care. And due to that fact, I will lack nothing in this life. I want you to take a challenge this week. I want you to try two things this week. Maybe it will help you to find some rest. The first is this. Read the 23rd Psalm all the way through two times, twice a day. It'll just be a few minutes out of your day. And maybe by doing that, your soul... Would you take that challenge? Would you do that? The third thing that I challenge you to do this week is that every time you plug in your cell phone, ask yourself, have I done that for myself today? Have I taken the time to re-energize my soul, my spirit, my mental health, my emotional health, my relational health? That we need to be cognitive, that we need to take the time to re-energize ourselves. In Mark chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said this, "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." The point of the message this morning is not to put an extra burden upon you, not to make you feel guilty that the fact that you don't take time to rest, but the point of the sermon this morning is to learn that God is my shepherd. Would you acknowledge that? Would you allow God to be your shepherd so that he can lead you and guide you, and that we would stop confusing this relationship so that we can acknowledge that the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I lack nothing. Jesus sees you, and he knows you, and he's calling you by name so that he can lead and guide you, be your shepherd. I'm glad you tuned in this morning with this worship service. I pray that you have a happy and healthy week. And if we're unable to meet again next Sunday corporately, we'll have this video out again so that we can worship God together in this way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather around TV screens, I just pray, Father, that we would remember that you are still greater than everything that is going on around us. I pray, Father, that we would deepen our trust in you, that we'd be taking the time to develop relationships in a way that perhaps we haven't in the past because of the circumstances that surround us. Father, we thank you for David's wisdom, the words of the 23rd Psalm that guide us to understand that we are not left to our own, that, Father, we can rely upon you as our great shepherd, as a personal shepherd that loves us individually. I pray, Father, this week that we would take the time to examine that 23rd Psalm personally. We would take the time this week to re-energize ourselves, Father, to find the rest that we need in such a busy life. Father, I thank you for everyone who has tuned in. I just pray that you would bless all of them in a very special way this week. We thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus. He was that sacrificial lamb that went to the cross on our behalf to take away our sins. And I pray, Father, that we would acknowledge that every day, and that would fill us with such great joy that we would want to shine the light of Jesus to all those that we encounter. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.